Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome to the Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are on board, and we're going to talk with our green and gold analyst, Paul Emmett, coming up here momentarily. But word getting out during the break, the Cleveland Browns figuring, what the hell, they have signed Kareem Hunt. They signed Kareem Hunt. Now, a source close to the Browns says that the discipline process is still ongoing and nowhere near done, and it could be a while before the Browns actually know how many games Kareem Hunt is going to miss via suspension from the NFL. But Cleveland, and remember, there was some talk that he could possibly end up with Matt Nagy down in Chicago, but Cleveland figuring, we want to win. And, you know, there's this whole, the Browns believe that everybody deserves a second chance and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But the video of Kareem Hunt, you know, punching and kicking a woman made its way around. And much like the Ray Rice video, I mean, he has become the scourge of the earth. But the Cleveland Browns feel that they can withstand all the PR loss if they can put butts back in the seats via wins. So they have signed Kareem Hunt, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, as a running back, their next running back in Cleveland. How about that? That's breaking news. Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Our green and gold analyst now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Paul, as Andrew Brandt tweeted out a little while ago, he said it's talent versus tolerance. The more talent you have, the more tolerant people will be of you. And what do you think of the Browns sticking their necks out and signing Kareem Hunt?
Well, a couple things. Number one, do you know who drafted Kareem Hunt originally, Bill?
That was John Dorsey.
And now who picked him up now?
That would be John Dorsey.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it's a guy in John Dorsey who knows that, who believes that he knows the guy, you knows the person, as Kareem Hunt better than any of us do. So, I mean, you saw there's certainly a lot of, like Reuben Foster went to Washington this past year after he was released by San Francisco. This is, when these teams make these decisions, they obviously have a PR plan that goes with it. And it's certainly, a calculated, decision that goes beyond just football. So I certainly don't know enough about the situation and anything else to, try to act informed on it. But I do find it fascinating that, that it's John Dorsey, the guy who originally drafted him, as being the guy who now with Cleveland is the guy to kind of bring him back into the NFL fold. So, I'm sure you saw this. It's the Browns have already, they are, it's not like a report or speculation. It is official. And I did see that the signing came with a statement from Kareem Hunt. So, you know, they're already seemingly trying to get out ahead of you know,
right,
the non-football aspects of this. So, yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know where that situation would end up, but, you know, here we are on February 11th that he's signed by Cleveland.
Yeah, John Dorsey saying, my relationship and interaction with Kareem since 2016 was important to a part of this decision-making process. But then it goes on to talk about how they did their due diligence with many individuals, including the professionals and clinics and such, to have a better understanding as to who he is and what he has going on. So, but clearly, this is a guy John Dorsey coveted. He drafted him, and now he said, hey, I want him again. They also said that they believe in second chances. Now, I think we're a community full of second chances. We're a society full of second chances. But when you see the video, a lot believe you don't deserve a second chance, that you should not to ever work again. You can go dig ditches anywhere you want to go, but to be in the NFL, that is a privilege and an honor. And once you pass that up by punching a woman or kicking a woman, you kind of lose that right. So now we'll see what he does with this opportunity with Cleveland, because this is clearly his last chance. Meanwhile, in Green Bay, all is quiet. The only thing that's kind of come out is last year they picked up the offensive lineman Cole Madison. And they really believe that he looked good, that in the OTAs, the workouts, all that kind of stuff, that he was going to be a guy that was going to add quality depth and could possibly be a starter one day. And as Michael Cohen wrote in The Athletic, it doesn't look like he's coming back. And if he does, it's not going to be anytime soon. So as much as I hate to equate a mental health and a life situation when it comes to the draft, it appears that that pick now becomes a draft bust.
Yeah, such a sad situation on so many levels, with, you know, his friend and quarterback in college, you know, and then the effect that obviously had on Cole Madison. If memory serves, Bill, Cole Madison did do his press conference via phone with the Green Bay media immediately following being drafted. So it was obviously something that was, you know, stirring around in his mind, and you know, it's you could, you know, these guys, these GMs and everything, they obviously do such incredibly detailed due diligence when it comes to deciding, you know, whether to draft a player or not. And presumably the conversations that they had with him wouldn't have led Brian Gutekunst to assume anything other than that this is a guy who would report to camp and would obviously play for them. But when you have, you know, circumstances such as this surrounding a guy that was, you know, his quarterback, his friend, his teammate, it's obviously a completely unpredictable situation. And, you know, I think at this point, if you're Brian Gutekunst in the front office, you have to assume, and I'm sure they knew this long, you know, months and months and months ago before Michael Cohen had the report on it, that they aren't going to assume him to be part of their team going forward. Fifth round pick, obviously it would have addressed their guard depth, and I'm sure that's, you know, when Byron Bell starts coming to the equation and you start having other guys, veterans who you might think can play that position, I'm sure, you know, the Packers have had really good mid-round draft success with guards. Josh Sitton was a fourth rounder, TJ Lang a fourth rounder, Corey Lindsley at center was a fifth rounder, JC Tretter was a fourth rounder, I believe, if memory serves. He was in that same draft in the fourth round as Bakhtiari. So, I mean, Cole Madison, clearly a guy that they valued. And then, you know, just terrible life things have, you know, certainly interfered with his plan to play in the NFL. And I'm sure that you're going to see, in terms of offensive line depth, the Packers approach this draft in this offseason as assuming that to be a position of depth that they need to fill, you know, without Madison being part of that plan.
So, look, it's a wasted draft choice. I understand it. It's something that I don't think we were really counting on. I think there was some hope that maybe he could come back and give you depth, but being out of the league for a year and dealing with, you know, the whatever is ailing his soul, I guess, is probably the priority. So you move on. And now you start to look, as we start to get more towards the draft, I'm reading more and more and more about how defensive heavy it's going to be. It leads me to believe that in free agency, you're going to probably go after a tackle, maybe a guard, and you're going to try to fortify a couple of things with a pass rush. Beyond that, this draft should fortify at least a portion of what it is you're ailing for right now when it comes to the defense, but it's also going to leave your defense, again, young and learning, and how much time do you have to get a defense that's going to be capable of being in the top 10 and supporting the offense?
Right. It's the year after year after year after year question, pretty much ever since 2010, when the Packers defense was first in the league in sacks, if memory serves, and obviously had a really big part in that team winning the Super Bowl that year, even with all of the IR guys that they had, you know, coming up. And then you talk about an offseason where you're probably planning on losing Clay Matthews, you know, a 30-year-old guy who's obviously a veteran in the league, and maybe you're going to part ways with Nick Perry and kind of pay him some money to go away there. You lose some more veteran stuff. I assume that they're going to have Tremont Williams come back and play out the second year of his deal, but I don't think that's a guarantee. You are once again, yeah, to that point, planning on going in and having an even younger defense than you did in 2018. So I do agree, though, Bill, as you do start to prep for this draft, and you know that the front office and coaching staff have been busy and busy up in Green Bay trying to plan for this draft. I think you look at the offensive side and you say they need to add offensive line depth. I think you could argue that if there's the right running back available in the second, third, fourth round, that you might go that route. Tight end is a position that, you know, they keep churning through older players. Jared Cook was in his late 20s when he signed. Bennett was obviously, seventh year in the league when he signed. And Jimmy Graham is in his, ninth or tenth year now in the NFL. At some point, you're going to have to invest in the tight end position and find what you hope to be your next guy. And that's been a struggle. They haven't been able to really – they haven't really ever replaced Jermichael Finley. You know, they've tried various routes and free agency 3 years in a row. So maybe you see tight end. But other than that, Bill, it's going to be defense, and more defense. You need to address safety. You need to add more young depth at corner. You need to add more pass rushing help. I think everybody at this point would say if all things were equal come draft night in the first round and you have the 12th pick and you're deciding between three or four players and one of those players that you have equally graded is an edge rusher, I think there would be an uproar from Packers fans if the Packers did not, in fact, draft an edge rusher with that number 12th overall pick. So it is, and just, I think, even kind of like last year's draft when they took Alexander in the first round and then, you know, Jackson is sitting there in the second round, they were so starved at corner and arguably still are that, you know, you might have to do multiple edge rushers and multiple high-level defensive players with, you know, just let's say you go edge rusher with pick 20 or with pick 12, and then the 30th pick comes up, the one that they grabbed from the New Orleans Saints in last year's draft. You might have to finish the first round with two edge rushers, and that's how depleted they are because, you know, again, I would argue for cutting Nick Perry, Bill. I really would. Even though you have to pay him like $10 million just to go away, you would still clear up money in the meantime. So you might be looking at a Nick Perry-less, Clay Matthews-less, Kyler Fackrell-led edge rushing group, and they'll have, you know, Fackrell certainly went from being sort of a joke, an afterthought, a bust. A year ago, he's, you know, 10.5 sacks in 2018, and they weren't like, you know, they weren't like lucky sacks. Most of them, a lot of them were, especially midway through the year, where he was really showing and that he was going to be a good player. That's not enough to say, okay, we don't need to address that position. So it's yet another offseason where we're going to be talking about, you know, let's say they finish with 9 draft picks, where 7 of those 9 might be defense, and even then, you still might be looking at holes on the defensive side of the ball. So it's the seemingly the never-ending question of how to address that side of the ball.
Good stuff as always, Paul. We will chat again soon, we promise, okay?
All right, Bill. Sounds good. See you,
all right,
man.
Buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus, they'll be getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That was Paul Emig. We're going to come back. Got a little more chatter for you. Hang in there because it's still interesting that the Cleveland Browns have gone ahead and signed. They have gone ahead and signed Kareem Hunt. And it raises all kinds of questions and issues. And we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Also, we're going to come back and at the bottom of the hour here from Tim Allen. In case you missed it earlier today, we're going to talk some Brewers baseball, start talking about this upcoming season and this offseason and what the Brewers need to do to get back on top and the importance of certain entities in this particular organization. Hang in there. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, we continue on. The news of the day in the world of sports, something that I guess you could have seen it coming had you really looked a little bit beyond the surface. And John Dorsey, the new general manager of the Cleveland Browns, has signed Kareem Hunt, the former Kansas City running back who was let go from the team immediately after the video surfaced of him punching and kicking a woman. They went ahead and signed him. The Cleveland Browns went ahead and signed Kareem Hunt. And now, Joe, what were the details of that deal? You said you had some details, or it was like a one-year deal, kind of a prove-it deal or something like that?
Yeah, it's a one-year deal. After that deal is over, Hunt will be a restricted free agent. The Browns will have the rights to that.
So there you go. But the Browns signing Kareem Hunt. Jeff Perlman tweeting out a little while ago, and for those that don't know Jeff, Jeff is the New York Times best-selling author of 8 books, worked with the USFL, and he wrote USFL, Favre, Showtime, Sweetness, Rocket, Cowboys, Bonds, Bad Guys, all that kind of stuff. He tweeted out, "It's pathetic when the NFL teams say a player who abused women learned from his mistakes, dropping a pass mistake, busting woman in the mouth, sinister, psychotic behavior that suggests something far deeper than oops, but apparently not as bad as kneeling in a protest," and that is hashtag Kareem Hunt. There's a lot of people that are saying that. Look, you can kick a woman, beat a woman, and still find your way back, but you kneel during a protest, you're not going to find your way back. Here's the difference. And I know that here's the difference. And this is the bottom line. Kareem Hunt is unbelievably talented. One of the best running backs in the National Football League. It's the reason he found a job. If he wasn't talented, he's not here. Ray Rice didn't find a job because he was on the backside of his career. Colin Kaepernick didn't find a job because, well, he wasn't the best quarterback in the league, and the league started to catch up to him. Now, people keeping him out of the league is even a backup quarterback, well, then you have to weigh, do you want him in your locker room and all the controversy he can bring versus just being a backup quarterback? And that's where I think some people have legitimate arguments when it comes to not seeing Colin Kaepernick back in an NFL uniform. But had Ray Rice been Ray Rice when he first busted into the league, he would have found a job. Somebody would have hired him. But he was on the backside of his career, so everybody went, eh, you know, he was probably a year out early anyway, so who cares? Whereas Kareem Hunt, he's top 2, 3. Gurley, Zeke Elliott, you know? I mean, Le'Veon Bell, and then Kareem Hunt, throw those guys all together in the mishmash. So Kareem Hunt's extremely talented, and that's the reason he's got a job. That's exactly what Andrew Brandt tweeted out. You know, tolerance equals talent. How much tolerance people will have for you is how much talent you have. So while the rest of us as fans and media members and such may loathe this, and he's going to hear it from everybody on the road, that's for sure, they, in Cleveland, if he starts scoring touchdowns and picking up first downs and taking the pressure off of Baker Mayfield, then they're going to love him. They're going to say, hey, this second chance was brilliant. So there you go. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. This really becomes your own preference. Because we give everybody a second chance in this country. Convicted murderers get out and get a second chance at life. Now, here's where it becomes drastically different. If you're, say Ray Carruth gets out quickly and wants to come back to the NFL, dude was involved in a murder, the NFL doesn't have to take him back. Your company doesn't have to take you back. You can go find a job, but you got to go find a job like everybody else. Kareem Hunt has no right to be in the NFL, only if somebody picks him up. So does he have a second chance? Yeah, he's not in prison. He's walking around. That's kind of like when people get into the whole freedom of speech thing. Look, freedom of speech means you don't go to jail. It doesn't mean you absolutely positively have an unalienable right to just continue to do what it is you do without any repercussion. nay-nay. So Kareem Hunt doesn't have a right to be in the NFL, but some team has given him that opportunity. It just depends on where you fall as a fan, I guess. Let's go to Sam, listening to us in West Bend. Sam, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm well, Bill. Thank you. You know, Bill, you're absolutely right. I just wanted to follow up on that comment someone made about, you know, kneeling and whatnot. And I've been saying this right along, Bill, especially, you know, in regards to Kaepernick. You know, Kaepernick was not good anymore, Bill. I mean, he if it was a young Kaepernick, and you know, he took a knee and whatnot, because, you know, the way to look at it, Bill, he wasn't the only guy who took a knee in the NFL.
Right.
There were a lot of good young players who took a knee. I don't agree with it, but they did it. That was their right. They did it.
Mm-hmm.
They're still playing in the NFL.
Right. Hey, you know? I mean, look at it this way. Michael Bennett, who was a proven liar coming out of that Las Vegas situation, and
absolutely,
his brother Martellus, who has lied about the medical staff in Green,
yes,
Bay, they've both taken knees, and they're both still working.
Absolutely, Bill. Absolutely right. That's a perfect example of it. So you couple that, just like you said, Bill, with the lack of talent, or the loss of talent, however you want to put it, it's not worth the gamble with Kaepernick, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I'm not justifying what this guy Hunt did or anything else. Bill, wasn't it a big conversation like this with Michael Vick back in the day?
Absolutely.
You know, it's the same thing. But
and people were more outraged about that. Because
absolutely,
he was, you know, beating up innocent animals.
Yep, yep. But they perceived he still had talent coming out of prison. And they were, well, you know, we'll give him another chance. And, that's what they did. So, anyway, I just think they're two different people if you're trying to compare Kaepernick to him.
Yep, no doubt. Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon. 855-830-8640. That's Sam in West Bend. Here's a thought. And I'm going to ask you this, and then I'm going to come back. We'll, if there's a bunch of calls on this, great. If not, no big deal. We can move on. But Justin tweets me and says, okay, bring him back. But if anything like this happens again, not only does Kareem Hunt get suspended and he's pretty much done for life, but the Cleveland Browns, for allowing him to come back, then are punished with a draft pick loss and money for signing him. See, I don't know if you can ever take it to that extent for a team to be chastised for bringing a guy back and giving him another opportunity. I mean, I think the player is going to withstand all the burden here, because put it this way, if anything like this ever happens again, he won't even sniff an NFL team. They won't even stop the bus to allow him to walk across the street if they're pulling out of the parking lot from a stadium. They'll run him over. He will never, ever don another NFL uniform. So I think Kareem Hunt has the burden of proof here when it comes to, hey, this will never happen in my lifetime again. But I appreciate your thought. 855-830-8648. Hey, this portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs has it going on right now. They got a lot of good stuff happening. Wisconsin's own Cousin Subs, they partner up with UW Athletics. They bring you Bucky's Got Game Sweepstakes. Badgers fans, listen up. Enter daily through February 18th, next week, at CousinSubs.com/Badgers, and you're then eligible for a chance to win the Ultimate Badger Fan Grand Prize. That is a weekend pass for two to the Conference Basketball Championship Tournament in Chicago on March 13th through the 17th, including a three-night hotel stay, $500 in travel stipend, and that is all from our friends at Cousins Subs, where they believe in better. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk some more Kareem Hunt, who has been signed by the Cleveland Browns, coming up here in the next segment. Also, we'll carry this over to tomorrow as well, because I find this completely fascinating. As opinions continue to trickle out via Twitter. Earlier today, we had a chance to catch up with Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show and Hot Stove Weekly. I do want to let you know that this portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, also reminding you that coming up first weekend in June, it all starts all over again. Wednesday Night Live is back at the Wisconsin State Fair in the Budweiser Pavilion there on the grounds. So get ready for a terrific, terrific June, July, August, all the way into September. Is Wednesday Night Live is back, and can't wait for music on Wednesday nights and warm weather. I cannot wait. We got more snow coming today. Snowpocalypse round 3, 5, 7, depending on where you're at. So ready for it to be done. And, oh, by the way, the Farmer's Almanac was correct. We had a little bit of a mild December, but after that, we've been walloped. And they said it would be a harsher winter with more snow. So it certainly has felt like it with the polar vortex and all the snow that's been accumulating throughout the state. So I listen to that thing each and every year, even though it's not 100% true. Meanwhile, Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joined us a little bit earlier. We started talking about the Reds getting better, Pittsburgh trying, obviously what they've done in St. Louis for Goldschmidt and trying to bolster their offense. We know the Cubs are most likely going to be good, and talking about the Brewers' chances in the National League Central.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to be right in the thick of it, you would assume. I mean, Travis Shaw had some comments the other day that said, we're going to beat each other up a little bit here in the National League Central, and then, hopefully they come out on top. But it's interesting that, you break that down, that Central Division down, Bill, as you said, there are some positives to point to for the Brewers. And I think it really comes down to this, is the foundation is coming back. Now, there's going to be a couple of slight changes, as we know. Bobby Wall and that bullpen, and we don't know where Tomlin's going to shake out here. But the addition of Ben Gamel, and it only makes this team better. I firmly believe they're a better team than they were last year, despite Wade Miley exiting. I think they're better, at least even keel. So that being said, they won 96 games last year with the extra game. Even if they falter a little bit, and sometimes you can be a better team and not win as many games. So say they falter to 90, 91 games, that's still a very good baseball team, and that could be good enough to win this division.
Now this is something you and I have not talked about, and I think it's a big deal, and I think it's bigger than what a lot of people are giving it credit for, because you're looking at the names on the backs of the jerseys on the field. But I think Derek Johnson leaving, and I think losing Lee Tunnell, I'm sitting here holding my breath, because Lee Tunnell had created such a culture and such a mood in that bullpen and such a camaraderie in that bullpen. Guys were stunned when he left, when he was not retained. Derek Johnson leaving, he made some more money going off to Cincinnati, but I still think there's some more there. I wonder how much the two of those exiting at the same time is going to mean or deter or help this team. Give me your thoughts.
Hearing a lot of different angles on that, Bill, as I know you have too, and I've heard everything from a somewhat divisive situation,
yep,
to a money situation, to advancement opportunities. I've heard it all, and I honestly, I don't know what to believe. And no knock on the folks that I talk to, because some are inside and some were outside, and we're hearing all about that. I agree with you that is something to keep your eye on. It is. We gave a lot of credit to Derek Johnson, and rightly so. He had these guys doing what they were doing. Now, to bring in Chris Hook is an opportunity for a guy that's worked with the younger guys, the Woodruff and the Burns and Peralta. So if there's any silver lining in this thing, it might be the fact that, he has worked with these guys. He may be able to detect flying open a little bit quicker than say, someone that's not used to these guys. So if you want to look at the positive, he's worked with some of the younger guys. The negative would be, wait a second here. These guys were overachieving under Derek Johnson. So, I mean, it is something to keep an eye on for sure.
If this takes a step back, we're going to look directly at that and go, there was some there that
could be.
This this became, look, I'm not going to air all the dirty laundry that I heard, but this became where numbers being dictated from the top were overshadowing thoughts, gut feelings, and eyeballing from the coaching staff.
It could be a philosophical difference in how the pitching staff was handled.
That's a great term to put it in. Usually when people part ways, we say, well, it's a philosophical difference. In other words, I want to do one thing one way and nobody's listening to me, and as somebody in management wants to do it another.
Well, and an example of that in Major League Baseball is what Bumgarner just came out and said. And, I mean, he texted his boss, his manager, that said, you know, you put me as an opener in a baseball game, I'm walking out the door. And so there are philosophical differences in how the pitching staffs are handled. And I'm sure you'll get to it, and I know I will. I wanted to ask Craig Counsell, among others, whether or not the philosophy of what you did last year handling the pitching staff, the starters slash bullpen, outgetters, if you will, was that based on the personnel you had, or was that based on large part to the philosophy that you had? And we may see that, you know, they may give the ball to a guy like Corbin Burnes and not worry about it, not you know, eyeball the bullpen after 4 2/3. They may say, hey, this dude's good enough, we'll go as far as he goes, and then we'll make our moves. It's going to be interesting. My guess is they're going to continue to do what they did last year, and that is get those valuable outs. You're trying to get 27 outs to win a baseball game, and Counts and his philosophy was, we don't care. We'll go to a guy in the third, same as we'll go to a guy in the seventh, and we saw in the postseason, we'll go to a guy after one out in the first if we have to.
The other thing I wanted to ask you specifically about is the starting rotation. When we talk about openers, okay, we're now changing the terminology of baseball because of the Milwaukee Brewers. The openers, I'm surprised they haven't made another move of some type. I know there's a lot of discussion. You talked about Bumgarner. I know there's a lot of talk about it. But is it surprising that they have not done anything else? Not to say it's a bad thing, because sometimes the best moves are the ones that are never made. But are you a little bit surprised nothing else has happened?
Not really. I will be come opening day, March 28th, if they don't. Now, again, they grabbed a veteran, Tomlin, and we'll see how that shakes. Is that this year's version of Wade Miley? We're going to find out. But I don't think they're done. I don't think they're quite done yet. I wouldn't look for a splashy move, but I'm not discounting that either. There's still, 70-plus free agents out there. And we started this last year, and it's the waiting game. It is, and the landscape of free agency and signing players is definitely changing, and it's not done changing yet, Bill. There's going to be some issues come collective bargaining, and that is going to be interesting.
I wanted to also ask you, the fact that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are still unsigned, does it bother you?
Not at all. I mean, that's a huge investment. I mean, this money is guaranteed. These teams pony out that kind of cash. As we know with Ryan Braun, you get the money. It doesn't matter how you do, what happens, injuries or trade releases, whatever. You get that money. That's a huge, a couple of $100 million. It's okay. I don't have a huge problem with it, just because that entails a high-end negotiation process, man. I couldn't imagine. I mean, is Milwaukee ever going to get into a bidding war upwards of $180 to $240 million?
I don't think it's ever going to happen. not in the next, say, I don't know, half decade or so. I don't think they could even approach something like that.
Let's just cross our fingers. Hopefully they stay out of the National League, stay out of the Central.
Well, also, let's do this. Let's hope that when it's time for Christian Yelich and his contract, that the Brewers are able to kind of solidify that deal before this thing becomes this type of offseason, where you've got all this money being thrown around and a guy just kind of waiting out there, and you'd love to have him back. But I agree with you. I think baseball general managers and sabermetrics and war has wised up to the fact of the longevity of an actual baseball player's career and said no longer are the 10-year deals going to get done. Maybe the 3, maybe the 5, but the 10-year deals are falling by the wayside fast and furious.
Yep, no, I agree. You're not going to get that Pujols-type deal that he got with the Angels.
He ruined it for everybody.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happened. He ruined it for everybody. Tim, good stuff. We'll chat again soon, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, Bill.
There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, also Hot Stove Weekly on our flagship station out of Milwaukee, Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan, he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRY. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Stay tuned. Going to wrap things up, preview tomorrow, all that kind of good stuff coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show, we're on the air. We are glad you are here. Reminding you, we're going to be heading out to Arizona. We're going to be covering the Milwaukee Brewers in spring training, and we can't wait to head out there. Compliments of a lot of great people. Our buddies down at San Giorgio Authentic Napoletana Pizzeria right here in the city of Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin, one of the only ones. There's only 60-something in the country, and we've got one here in our own backyard. That's San Giorgio, Old World 3rd Street near Kilbourne, right next to the Calderon Club. Two fantastic Italian restaurants. Stop in and tell my buddy Gino, you said, Gino's not doing real well. I had a knee replacement and still ailing a bit from that thing. So if you see Gino down there, man, walk in, just give him a hug. He needs a hug right now. I've been going through a lot. Also, when you go down there, you get the Bill Michaels pizza. You pair it up with Cider Boys, the first press from Point Brewing right here in the state of Wisconsin from Stevens Point. That's what they do. They pair that thing up with Cider Boys. It's really, really good. So head down to San Giorgio. Stop. National Pizza Day was over the weekend as well. I know they sold a lot of them down there at San Giorgio. And our good friends over at Usinger's, John, Gabe, and his staff, and Fritz, and Hans, everybody there. Whether it's from their deli or cheeses, they've got it all. Party boxes, pit samplers, that good rye bread they have, those pretzel buns. Oh, my God, they got good stuff down there. Northern Comfort, Old World Medley party boxes. Usinger's has something for everybody and every gathering. That's Usinger. Go to Usinger, Usinger.com. That is Usinger.com. I would be remiss if I did not mention this, and I promise that I would, but in case you didn't know it, the Marquette women's team, the Golden Eagle women, have won 12 in a row, and on the season right now, Marquette is 21-3, and they are ranked number 8 in the country. So if you've not paid attention to women's college hoops, and judging by the lack of chatter, and we're as at fault as anybody, congratulations to the Marquette women because they have been getting the job done. Now we'll see how far they can go in the women's tournament, but I'm fired up for them. Hopefully they continue to rock on. But, man, go get them. 21-3 on the season. Congratulations to the Marquette Golden Eagle women and the season they're having. By the way, just wrapping up a couple of things, the NBA's power rankings came back. Even with the Bucks 20-point loss by the Orlando Magic over the weekend, the Bucks are still ranked number one in the NBA power rankings at 41-14. 41-14. Their offensive rating is 113.3. Defensive rating is 103.8. They're beating teams by almost 10 points per game, 9.5. And Giannis is most likely expected back for tonight, even though Mirotić is going to come off the bench for the Bucks eventually, but not going to be in action again this evening. But this team has got it going on, and I wanted to make a mention of that because the NBA puts out their power rankings, and that's done by John Schumann of NBA.com, and says the Bucks are still the number one team in all of the NBA when it comes to power rankings.
Some other notes. Mark Lazary fined $25,000 for his tampering remarks. Did you see that one?
He had said something about having, Anthony Davis, having a guy like that or something like that.
Yeah, on the Bucks. Yeah. And he got $25,000. And then John Dietzen, Badger offensive lineman, he made it public on Twitter that he is leaving the Badger football program because he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. He's not going to the draft, but there goes another starter on your offensive line, which means Tyler Biadasz is the only returning starter for next season.
That is not going to be easy. That is not going to be easy. No doubt. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk more about this Kareem Hunt thing. And for those that are just tuning in, the Cleveland Browns, John Dorsey was the general manager of Kansas City when they drafted Kareem Hunt. So it makes sense that Cleveland, who is John Dorsey's team now, picks him up. He knows him and covets him as much as anybody. And they sent out a reply basically saying they understand the controversy this is going to cause. They understand the questions and the negativity that's going to be surrounding this, but they also believe in second chances. They believe that, you know, he is going through everything he needs to do to get proper help and become, I guess, a better person. But and they said also very emphatically they in no way, shape, or form condone what he did. Now, the question for many is if you bring him back and give him the job and the opportunity to make millions down the road, are you then, in essence, condoning what he did? Because there, what repercussions does he have? Well, I mean, in essence, you lost your reputation as a human being. I mean, that's one thing. But we'll get into that a little bit further tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Farrell on the Bench. Scott Farrell is going to be here from CBS Radio Sports. He will be joining us tomorrow. We'll preview the Badgers and the Michigan State Spartans. The voice of the Spartans, Will Tiemann, is going to be here. Get some more on the Badgers with Zach Heilprin. We'll also recap the Bucks and the Bulls. We got a lot coming up tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Until then, have a good one, my friends. It's Snowmageddon, Snowpocalypse, Snow Cares, all that kind of stuff. Whatever it happens, just stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, have a good one. Sure.
Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.